spells, incantations, magical texts, exorcisms in various forms abound from the great discoveries archaeologists have made. And some of these discoveries come from Babylon, Egyptian, Assyrian, Chaldean, and Greek and Roman antiquity. And they are rich in demonic phenomena. And the deities worshipped were invisible demons represented by material idols and images. To an amazing degree, the history of religion is an account of demon-controlled religion, particularly in its clash with the Hebrew faith and later with Christianity. Now, that's a great quote from Merrill Unger, but as we think about that, we now come to what he is aiming at in the Word of God. And in point one tonight, we're going to have a look, first of all, at the proof there is from the Hebrew Old Testament. The Old Testament regards demons as existing evil entities, and it goes on to say that since man's fall in the Garden of Eden, God's people have been attacked by Satan and demons, as Genesis 4, 1 through 6, and Genesis 6, 1 through 10 reveal. Now, when I look at the Old Testament, I also see that Israel was surrounded by pagan nations, which manifested the whole gamut of this subject we're talking about tonight. That is, the practices of demons and the beliefs in demons. And, of course, all of this clashed with Israel's monotheistic faith, that is, the faith in the one and only God. But as you look at the people of Israel in the Old Testament, and especially the enlightened Israelites, they regarded idols as demons worshipped by man. And there are a number of passages of Scripture to support that. For example, Psalm 95, verse 5, Deuteronomy 32, verse 17, Psalm 106, verse 36 and 37, Leviticus 17, verse 7, 2 Chronicles 11, verse 15, Isaiah 13, verse 21, and Isaiah 34, verse 14. All of those passages and many, many more reveal this great truth. But there are two that stand out in the Old Testament. And the ones that stand out is the spirit who volunteered to be a lying spirit through false prophets, first of all, speaking to Ahab, as recorded in 1 Kings 22 and verses 20 through 22. And then there were the spiritual powers behind the world rulers with whom Daniel's angelic visitor wrestled, as recorded in Daniel 10, verses 13 and 20. It's very interesting to study the Old Testament in this area in regard to the lying spirit, to the spirit that is counterfeit. So I want tonight that you realize what is happening. There are many, many passages in the Old Testament. So as we look at the proof from the Hebrew Old Testament, we see that Satan and the demons are alive and well. Of course, demonology was brought to Ahab by his wife Jezebel. She brought those deities across when she married Ahab. And she was a very powerful medium in her own right. And she transmitted. Now, sometimes when I was specializing in this field of ministry years ago, when I had what was known in Bondi Junction as the occult clinic, where I operated every Monday night, helping people in this particular torment, I became very much aware of this great ministry in the occult world of transmitting. I remember spending some time with the wife of a Macquarie Street surgeon, a lovely woman who was tormented by evil power that was transmitted from London through the daughter-in-law here in Australia. And I want to tell you tonight that the familiar spirits or the demonic spirits can be transmitted worldwide. And we're knowing the truth of this today in the realm of mental illness and mental torture. There are five different Hebrew words that are translated demon. There's a very interesting word called shetim, and we find this word in Deuteronomy 32, verse 17. We find it in Psalm 106 and verse 37. And here in these passages of Scripture, the meaning is always in the plural, conveying the idea of rulers or lords. And it speaks of idols as lords, since the Hebrews regarded images as visible symbols of invisible demons. And so the Israelites, who committed idolatry, that is, they got away from the true and living God, are recorded in Scripture to have sacrificed to the demons. Another interesting word, and they're very difficult to pronounce, and I hope I can pronounce them for you. The second word is a word called serum, and we find it in Leviticus 17:7. And here we see that the Hebrews were to sacrifice at the altar of the tabernacle and not to sacrifice in the desert to the he-goats. In 2 Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 15, Jeroboam the first appointed worship for the serum, that is, for the demon, whilst Josiah, who brought about reform, broke down these places of worship and he broke down the idols. Jeroboam was a very wicked king, but Josiah was a very godly man, and he set out to bring about reform. Now, the third word that's used in Holy Scripture is another very interesting word, which is called El Elim, and it's in Psalm 96 and verse 5. And this passage of Scripture identifies demons with idols and suggests demonism as the dynamic of idolatry. Again, in this psalm, the plural is used, and it conveys emptiness and nothingness of idols. The demons behind them are the real existence. Then there's a very easy English word to pronounce, and that's the word Gad. And we find it in Isaiah 65 and verse 11, and the New American Standard Bible, as well as the NIV, correctly says, they forsake Jehovah and set a table for fortune. Now, this word fortune is literally translated from the Hebrew word Gad. And the demon god Fortune was worshipped by the Babylonians. And thus, this idolatry was elsewhere called the worship of Baal. And it was one of those kinds of deities that Jezebel brought across to Ahab. And then the fifth word is another very interesting word, which is pronounced in our English language, quetta. And it's in Psalm 91 and verse 6. And it's the word that is translated destruction in our Bible. And the destruction that wasteth at noonday was regarded as an evil spirit, an evil demon. So in the Old Testament, we have ample proof. Now, point three is we come across to the New Testament. But let me say this to you, first of all, that there are over 100 references to demons in the Bible. But most of them occur in the New Testament. As we look at their names in the New Testament, one is Daimon, which we translate demon, and you will find that word used in Matthew 8:31, Mark 5:12, Luke 8:29, Revelation 16:14, and Revelation 18:2. But it's very interesting to see what else is in the New Testament. We see the pneumata, or the pneuma, for spirit. And 43 times demons are termed pneumata or pneuma. And the context makes it clear that these spirits are demons. For instance, the demon possessed were treated by Jesus as he cast out the spirits. Very, very interesting, because that is the same word that Paul uses for spirit in his writings to the church at Corinth. And some people will argue and argue against the Word of God until they whip themselves into a frenzy of emotionalism about the gifts of the Spirit, and they do not understand that what Paul is talking about is the demonic gift. And then, of course, there are angels, fallen angels. Matthew 25 and verse 41 speaks of the devil and his angels. And again, in Matthew 12:24, that was read to us tonight, we see here Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And verse 26 clearly teaches that Beelzebub refers, of course, to Satan. And what the accusation against Christ was, you are Satan. To which he replied very subtly, the way he used Scripture. He said, and if Satan cast out Satan, is he divided against himself? How shall then his kingdom stand? We are learning that demons do exist, and there is ample proof from the existence of fallen angels, from heathen religions, from the Old Testament, and from the New Testament. But the New Testament continues the Old Testament view of demons. And our Lord's own views and actions in casting out demons should settle the issue. Now, you could have demons in your home and you wouldn't even know they were there unless you were trained in the field. I remember having a crusade down at Bendigo, and I was having a coffee morning. And this particular lady was brought along to the coffee morning by a lovely Christian friend. And I knew that I was going to get attacked, and I'll tell you why. Because the previous evening, we launched the crusade with a crusade dinner in a motel. And during that dinner and the address that was given, this woman's mother, who was well on in years, came to Christ in an unforgettable way. And this woman came to the coffee morning the next morning to see who the preacher was. What kind of a preacher is he? And I knew that she was there, and she knew that I knew she was there. And she began to give me a run for my money. The good old Australian phrase, I haven't got much, so it wouldn't have been a very long run. And she got in the car to go home with the pastor and this other friend. And the pastor said to her, he said, "What did you think of the talk this morning?" "Oh," she said, "it was all right." She said, "I understood everything he was talking about because I was talking about witchcraft." That woman was led to Jesus Christ in an unbelievable way. I think by the time they finished cleaning her house up, they casted something like 43 demons out of her home. And the pastor of the church had never seen it in his life. And as they went with the dive, that the whole lot of the deacons went. And as they heard the demons scream from behind the pictures that were hanging on the wall, as they saw demons come out of vases, they couldn't believe what they were seeing. But it happened. That woman today is totally delivered. And as a result of all of that, her husband came to Christ. I can see that you don't believe that. What if it was your home? How do you know they're not there? We see that our Lord Jesus Christ confronted them wherever he went. And we look at the New Testament, and we see that every writer of the New Testament, with the exception of the author of Hebrews, mentions demons in one way or another. But in our English translation of the Bible, the translation devils is incorrect. It should be demons. If it's literally translated from the Greek, it will be demons on every occasion. Oh, there's much more that I could say to you at this point. But let us also remind ourselves tonight that the great ethnic faiths of India and China and Japan major in demonism, as well as the animistic religions of Africa and South America. Just recently in Christian chat through the Southeast Advertiser, I challenged something that was written about one of the cults from Japan, which is engrossed in demonism. I noticed that when I wrote about Christ not lying in some unknown grave in Japan, but he is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, he rose again, is alive, we didn't have any more opposition. Now in point four, we come to the great and interesting part of tonight's study, the description of demons. And in the Bible, you will see on many occasions that they are referred to by the usage of personal pronouns. Personal names are used. Also, the demons speak. They spoke to Christ, and our Lord spoke to them. One or two passages that might help you understand that is Luke 4, 33 through 35, Luke 8, 28, verse 30. Demons are also intelligent. The demons knew who the Lord Jesus was and who he is today. Have a look at Mark 1, verses 23 and 24. Luke 4, verse 34, and Luke 8, 28. One demon on one occasion gave a slave girl recognition of Paul and his ministry, as recorded in Acts 16, verses 16 and 17. And the demon also enabled her to determine secret information through fortune-telling or divination. Then the other thing about demons is that they have emotions. And in Luke 8, 28 and James 2, 19, we read of demons who evidence their emotion in fear and trembling of judgment. Then demons also have a will. And in Luke 8, 32, we see that demons exercise will in appealing to Christ not to cast them into the abyss, but to allow them to enter swine. However, Christ's command to demons is essentially a demand of his will over theirs. A demand that they have to obey as revealed in Mark 1, 27 and Luke 4, 35 and 36. When the Bible speaks about the unclean and evil spirit, it is dealing with the issue of morality. Demons' immorality is often manifest in the sensuousness of those they control or influence. Luke 8, 47. For example, you will see much today under the control of demons in the pornographic world. You will see much under the control of demons by your television set. And it's very subtly done. For example, let me go along this line with you. The actions of the drunkard, the criminal, the physically and emotionally disturbed, the drug addict, the gambler, and the suicidal person are often caused by influences beyond mental or physical injury or disease. Now, the strongest evidence outside the Bible that wicked and unclean spiritual agencies can enslave their victims and drive them to self-destruction is provided by people who deliberately plunge into evil, fully aware of the disastrous consequences. There are many people who go into Satanism fully aware of what they're going into. But let it also be known that people who dabble in the occult and in magical arts are recklessly flirting with demonism. And do you know what? To our shame, we have many people in our Baptist denomination who flirt with magic. But when I think about that, I think also of Moses. When he warned Israel of the dangers of occultism as the nation prepared to enter Canaan, where demon-energized practices flourished. Read Deuteronomy 19, verses 9 through 13. Let me read it to you. This is not yesterday's newspaper. It's alive and well, and it's up to date. And I'll read it from the NIV, and if you've got an NIV, you look at it in the NIV too. In verses 9 through 13, if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he promised on oath to your forefathers, and gives you the whole land he promised them, because you carefully followed all these laws, I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk always in his ways. Then you are to set aside 3 more cities. Do this so that innocent blood will not be shed in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you as your inheritance, and so that you will not be guilty of bloodshed. But if a man hates his neighbor and lies in wait for him, assaults him and kills him, and then flees to one of these cities, the elders of his town shall send for him, bring him back from the city, and hand him over to the avenger of blood to die. Show him no pity. You must purge from Israel the guilt of shedding innocent blood so that it may go well with you. And then it goes on. These demon-energized practices were in those lands to which the Israelites went. What lies behind all of that is human sacrifice. That is, human sacrifice that is offered to appease an angry deity or demon was particularly loathsome to the people of Israel until they walked away from God. They saw the Ammonites do it. They saw them present their children as a fire offering to the god Moloch, a cruel form of worship that displays all the marks of Satan, as revealed in John 8, 44, 1 Kings 11, 7, 2 Kings 21, verse 6, and 2 Kings 23, verse 10. All of those scriptures reveal this truth. And this murderous practice was rigidly banned from Israel, as Leviticus 18:21 and Leviticus 21 through 5 reveal. Now, divination or soothsaying is the art of obtaining unlawful knowledge of the future. And in inspirational divination, the medium is under the direct influence or control of evil spirits or demons. And the same is true of the modern day seance. Why? Because the spiritistic agent claims to obtain the occultic information from the deceased and is called a medium. In Hebrew, it means one making inquiry of a divining demon. Doris Stokes, when she was out here, fooled many people, because that is precisely what she was doing. But it goes deeper than that. When you look into the Old Testament and you see the necromancers, which in the Hebrew means one seeking among the dead, it is very interesting, because the word for it in the Hebrew is pronounced in our English translation of.
AHB.
You see, wherever you see this word, you're seeing these familiar spirits. And when it is translated, and it has been translated because of the scriptures being translated into Greek, it becomes a very interesting Greek word. And I want you to listen carefully. This Hebrew word is translated into the Greek into a word that is called engastramuthus. E-N-G-A-S-T-R-A-M-U-T-H-O-S. It means a ventriloquist demon. It was a ventriloquist demon who talked with Jesus in Mark 5. You know when Christ went to the demoniac of Gadara and the man was tormented? And our Lord said, "What is your name?" The man didn't speak. The ventriloquist demon spoke. We are legion. I don't want to dwell on this tonight. I'd love to. But I'm going to teach you the era of the modern day tongues movement. But the great truth about demons and the occult is this. Those who consult the occult methods and mediums have confidence in the intelligence of the spirits. Now, point five, demons are usually invisible, but they are capable of manifestation. As spirit beings, angels are normally invisible to human eyes. It is so with demons. But just as angels have power given them to appear on some occasions, as recorded in Genesis 19:15, you'll know that one well, Luke 1:26, John 20 verse 12 reveals, likewise, evil spirits seem evidently to possess a similar power. And the Bible teaches clearly that Satan manifests himself on several occasions. One was Genesis 3:1, another time Zechariah 3:1, and then in Matthew 4 verses 9 and 10. So also his demons assume visible form, even human form, should the occasion so require. Now, when Scripture records the appearance, they assume hideous and fearsome forms like animals, as Revelation 9:7-10 and 17, and Revelation 16:13-16. Where is this being displayed more than anywhere else? I'll tell you, in some of the modern-day movies. And don't even dare to darken the door or steps of a theater that shows it. Unless you want to be touched by demonic power. Not only is the revelation of their appearance hideous, and I have seen them firsthand, but these demons have a supernatural strength. There are many illustrations, Acts 19:14-16, and of course Mark 5 of the demoniac at Gadara. Remember how the story in the Bible says he broke the chains? This power is often manifested in viciousness. When I was involved in satanic influence and under its control, I had a car that weighed 3,500 weight. And in temper, through the means of occultic power, I could lift that 3,500 weight car off the ground as if it was a piece of paper. I don't know whether you've ever had to work with them. I've been to psychiatric centers where they've had them locked up, and I've had to get in the cell with them to talk to them. And I've said to the attendant, I said, "I'll be all right." He said, "You're mad, preacher." I said, "I'll be all right." And I've got into that cell and I've heard the lock click behind me because we couldn't take the risk that the demonic influenced person would aim for the door and get away. And you're in this little cubicle and you're there facing demonic power. How do you handle it? It's going to come your way one day. Believe you me. What are you going to do when it does? I'll tell you the only way that you will ever handle it is to study the Bible. Study, 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 and grow strong spiritually. When you do, you'll be able to handle it. My son was telling me that he was involved one night at Plainsville in the psychiatric center with a demon-possessed person, and it took 5 men to hold this person down. Why do you think that nurses and doctors in psychiatric centers jab a needle in them straight away when they go hysterical? Because medication quietens. But you know, when you walk with the Lord, you don't need the medication. Now, at this point in our study tonight, I want to share with you another great truth. That demons can produce deceptive miracles. Like their leader,
the devil. They may interfere in the laws of nature. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 says that Satan works all powers. I want you to listen to this. All powers and signs and lying wonders through the Antichrist who is now at work in this world. What does it say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9? Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan will have power and signs and lying wonders with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. If you want the things of Satan, if you want the counterfeit miracles, you have them. And Almighty God says, I will allow a delusion. I will allow you to believe a lie because you will not believe in me. And I want to tell you tonight that there are many in this modern day charismatic movement who believe a lie. I don't care if I only preach to one person, as long as that one person learns the truth of the Bible. Satan is alive and well. He works all powers and signs and lying wonders through the false minister or the false prophet who support the Antichrist and also performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to earth in the presence of men. When you have a good look at all of this biblical truth, you see that the false minister even animates an image of the Antichrist to deceive men, as Revelation 13:15 reveals. Now the truth which is now before us in 2 Thessalonians 2 is this. In Satan's counterfeiting actions, he performs through the Antichrist's works similar to those of Christ. Because the same three Greek words are used of our Lord's miracles in Acts 2:22 and of the apostles' miracles in Hebrews 2:4 are used, 2 Thessalonians 2:9, they are used here of satanic or demonic miracles with one qualification, that they are lying wonders. The Greek word for power, dunamis, is used. The Greek word for sign is used. And the Greek word is wonder is used, but it has a qualification when it's associated to Satan, and that association is lying. I taught you in the morning hour, the whole world lies in wickedness of the evil one. And my heart is saddened when I see people walk away from the faith that should be theirs in Christ, when they walk away from the Lord Christ toward the Antichrist and claim to be the people of God. Oh, the big difference here is the demonic miracles, and the Greek word for lying is pseudos, and not in accord with divine scripture. Oh, I've had them talk to me over the assembly time. Come and say, but Ron, you haven't got the joy of the Lord. If I haven't got the joy of the Lord, well, I don't know what I've got, but it'll do me. I love to pull a Bible, and when you pull a Bible on these characters, it's like pulling a shotgun. And when you say, let's look at the Word of God, oh, but I want to tell you about my experience. I'm not interested in your experience. I want to look at the Word of God. And they can't even look at the Word of God because they do not know what the Word of God teaches. And this week, with all the heavy program, was I going to allow Satan to rob me of my research in order to bring you the Word of God? No. I got up earlier. I worked harder. But let me tell you this. There is a limit to what supernatural feats of demons and Satan can duplicate. Let's go back to the Old Testament. The magicians of Egypt seemed to duplicate some of God's miracles through Moses, but were unable to match others, as Exodus 8 verses 5 through 19 reveal. And of course in Exodus 8:19, the magicians recognized that the greater power came from God. Now one point that must be clarified: modern day miracles may be real and of God. You cannot ignore the sovereignty of God. But they also can be very false. They can be counterfeits of demons. And the only way that you will discern is to understand what 1 John 4:1 means. Test the spirits to see if they be of God or if they be of Satan. Test the spirit world. sometimes you will find that healing miracles are counterfeits. And people have been deluded. And what does God say in 2 Thessalonians? He said, because they want to believe a lie, I will allow the delusion. Oh, there's a lot more to say tonight, but I think you've had enough for tonight. This is very heavy going, isn't it? I want you to learn what the Bible teaches. You're going to be interested when I teach you what that ventriloquist demon does. We have learned this tonight, that demons are persons with intellect, sensibility, and they have will, as do the holy angels. We've learned that demons are spirit beings who are morally perverted in their personality, in their doctrine, and in their conduct. Often they are called unclean spirits or evil spirits. They are normally invisible, but sometimes may appear in hideous forms.